Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us again this morning. We are really excited that you spend this morning with us, and I believe God will speak to you. He'll minister to you as we go through the word this morning. Why don't you bow your head with me and let's pray for the word. Pray for yourself that the Lord would speak to you, that he would minister to you. Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We come before you, Lord, and we submit ourselves to you. We pray, Father, that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit of God, may you download that which is on the heart of God for us. I pray for the entrance of the word. I pray for understanding today. Enlighten our hearts, O God. And thank you, Father, for your goodness that is before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everybody said, Amen. Awesome. I'm so excited that today is the finale, is the final preaching for this series that we've been going on. We've been teaching on the glory dispensers. The glory dispensers, this is the seventh session of this series. And last week, we started talking about the reward of the glory dispenser. The reward of a glory dispenser. And we spoke about how the kingdom of God operates on principles. And this principle of the reward is one of the major principles that every believer needs to get hold of and to understand. This is what we taught and we learned last week. We said the reward is experienced both now and in the world to come. That was the first pillar. The second pillar was the reward of the Lord will be in the public for all to see. Third, the reward is commensurate with one's works. Number four, rewards are guaranteed for those who serve God. Number five, God promises a great reward. So when the Lord blesses you and rewards you, he rewards you handsomely. Number six, the Lord is the source of the reward. Man is not your source. Man is simply a channel through which God will reward you in certain ways. And number seven, recklessness can result in one losing their reward that would have been. So when you are reckless in one or the other, there are chances that you might lose what could have been. As you can see, from what we covered last week, the reward principle implies that in as much as we are all loved by God, there are certain things that we do that will enable us to tap into a greater dimension of what is found in God. So let's look at some scriptures as we get going today. I want us to go deeper a little bit on this aspect of the principle of the reward. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This is a loved scripture by many. And the Bible says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Christians love to quote this scripture. It is a powerful scripture because it is telling you of what can be. It is telling you there are many things that you haven't seen, but yet they are there. They are available. There are many things that you have not heard of, but they are there waiting for you. You haven't understood certain things, but they are there for you. Now it says, those things that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, there is a condition for you to see what you haven't seen. There's a condition for you to hear what you haven't heard. And there's a condition for you to perceive what you haven't perceived or grasped with your mind. And the condition is this. It is for those that love him. Those that love him. You can be born again, but I don't know how much you love God. And I've come to realize that love is not a matter of words. Love is a matter of action. When you go into the book, in the first letter of John, you find that John writes about the practicalities of love. And he says, do not love by words only, but let there be an action attached to your love. And he goes on to say, Jesus loved us so much that he acted his love by dying on the cross. Now, when you say that you love Jesus, you love God, guess what? One way of showing your love for God is what you do for him. It's how you serve God. It's how you avail yourself for good works. Hallelujah. And now God is telling us here, there are things that will only be seen by those who serve God. There are things that will only be heard by those who love God to the extent of serving him. Glory be to God. So what I'm trying to say this morning here is that there are things that are available to every believer. The moment you get born again, you have access to God. You have access to everything that is found in God. But hey, there is a greater dimension that is tapped in by those who serve God, by those who allow themselves to go through the trouble of serving God at a certain dimension. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. When you go to Malachi 3 verse 17, it talks about right at the end. And God is saying, on the day when I act, on that day of judgment, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. Those who serve God will be treasured possessions. He says, I will spare them as a father, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. Just as a father has a compassion who spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. So there is a distinction between the righteous, those who are upright, those who have been called into the kingdom of God, those who have said yes to the Lord Jesus, and those who haven't said yes to the Lord Jesus. On the day of judgment, there will be a distinction because those who are called by the name of God, their names will be found in the book of life. But those who haven't given their life to Jesus, their names won't be found in the book of life. And here the Bible says there will be such a distinction. And the Bible goes on and says, and you will see again the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. I want you to realize that yes, there is a first distinction. You are heaven bound. You are going into heaven. But here I want you to understand that there will be a distinction again, a further distinction between those who served God and those who did not serve God here on earth. And this is what we're going to talk about this morning. You discover that the reward of God is there for everybody to take. That is why the Bible says in God there is no partiality. God is very impartial. He is very fair when it comes to rewarding you. He will reward you and I according to our deeds here on earth. I want you to know that a lot of people don't have an understanding of the reward of the Lord, the nature of the reward of the Lord. There is a portion of the reward of the Lord that accrues to those that serve God. And there is a portion that accrues to you just because you are called by his name. Glory be to God. The choice is ours. There is common blessing, but there is a special blessing for those who go out there and they say, God, you can count on me. Hallelujah. So this morning, we're going to go deeper into understanding the nature of the reward of the Lord. Because many people do not understand the nature of the reward of the Lord. So let's unpack the nature of the reward of God for those who've been serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you ready to dive in? Let's look at the first portion. The Lord rewards people with his presence. The reward of the Lord comes in the form of his presence to those who serve God. And I want you to know that the presence of the Lord is available to every child of God. But there is a special presence that the Lord attaches to those who serve him. And one of the greatest rewards that a glory dispenser will receive from God is an assurance of His presence. And I believe that every believer should aspire for the presence of God more than anything. If you've been serving God, yes, you can cry out to God to bless you with money, to bless you with all sorts of things, but every child of God should aspire for His presence. You must cry out for the presence of God more than money, more than houses, more than promotion at work. Why? Because His presence is the source of all other blessings you might wish to have in your life. The presence of the Lord is the source of all the other blessings. Therefore, you need to go for the big one. Go for the presence of the Lord. Go for the special type of reward that will enable you to receive the rest. Do you know why I'm saying this? I'm reminded of King Solomon when he was visited by God in a dream. And God came to King Solomon and said to him, "Ask me of anything and I'll give it to you." I don't know if you were King Solomon, what you would have asked. Maybe you'd have asked the Lord for a spouse. You'd have said, "I want to get married." Maybe you'd have said to the Lord, "I want a healthy bank balance." Maybe you'd have said to the Lord, "I want a double-story house." You know what? There's nothing wrong with getting married. There's nothing wrong with getting a partner. There's nothing wrong with having a healthy bank balance. But I want you to know there is more in God than just money. There is more in God than just getting a spouse. There is more in God than getting a house or a promotion. And Solomon got it right. And the Bible said Solomon asked the Lord to give him wisdom. He said, "Give me wisdom so that I might know how to conduct myself. I might know how to lead your great people." And God was so impressed. And He said to Solomon, "Well, I will give you wisdom. But you know what? I will give you even more than what you did not ask." I want you to know there are things that when you get, many other things get attracted to them. So when you get the very presence of God, everything else gets attracted to you. And therefore, when you cry out to the Lord for a reward as you are serving Him, say, "Lord, I want your presence." Because you know what? When you have the presence of God enables you to deliver what He has called you to do. When you have the presence of God, you know that you've got the capacity. You know that you've got all that you need, the resources that you need for you to dispense the glory of God. I want you to realize that when you avail yourself to serve God, God draws closer to you like never before. An empty vessel that is presented to God, I want you to know that God is interested in filling up that empty vessel so that you are able to deliver what He has called you to deliver. Hallelujah. When you look at Matthew 28 verse 19, this was Jesus talking to His disciples where He was commissioning them to go and dispense the glory of God. He said to them, "Therefore go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world." Jesus was telling His disciples that I want to be with you, and I am assuring you of my presence as you go about dispensing my glory. You know what? If you're serving God, you need to serve God with the presence of God. You need the presence of God because it is the presence of God that will get the job done. And guess what? Those who are serving God, God will give them His presence. When God was about to commission Moses as a glory dispenser to deliver His people from Egypt, we see Moses struggling with insecurities. We see Moses struggling, and he looked at himself and said, "I am so weak. I'm insecure. I cannot speak. Who am I that you're going to use me?" And he kept on giving reasons and excuses. The reason why he was giving these excuses, it was because Moses was looking at himself and he said, I don't have the capacity, I cannot speak. I don't have the anointing, I'm not able to go and deliver what God wants me to deliver. It was because he was not assured of the presence of God. Now, look at what happens here in Exodus chapter 4, verse 13. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Yes, if you do not have the presence of God, you better ask God to send somebody else. But look at this. God wants to use you, irregardless of your weaknesses. The reason why God wants to use you, it is because he's going to be with you. He promises you his presence. And he says, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. And he said, what about your brother, Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you. And he will be glad to see you. Verse 15, you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you. Hallelujah. I will help both of you speak, and I will teach you what to do. Now, God was saying to Moses, it's not about you. It's about me inside of you doing works through you. Glory be to God. This is the reward of those who serve God. God comes and inhabits them. God comes and he dwells inside of them. And he starts using them as an instrument for his glory. When you serve God, you do not run out of the presence of God. When you are open to be used by God, his presence comes. And here God was telling Moses that I will be with you. My presence will go with you, and I will teach you, and I will help you. Hallelujah. This is so profound, saints, that when we serve God, he comes and he gives us everything that we need to do his will and his purposes. Brother Joshua, when he was about to take the children of Israel into the promised land, he was also caught up with some level of insecurities because he was about to fill the shoes of Moses, the big Moses, the great leader who had taken the children of Israel for 40 years in the desert. And here he had seen how Moses had dealt with the people of God, how difficult it was to lead the people of God. And then God comes and says, now it's your turn. So many times when God calls us, we feel out of our depth. We feel inadequate, and for sure that is the right way it should be, because if it is of God, you do not have capacity to do it by yourself. You need the presence of God. So God speaks to Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you. Not because Joshua was great in of himself, not because Joshua was mighty, not because Joshua was strong. He says, yeah, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you are walking that path of pursuing the destiny that God has put upon you, there is an assurance that comes from heaven where God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I don't know what God is calling you to do. I want you to know there is a promise. There is a reward for you where God says, my presence will go with you. I will walk with you. When you go through the valleys, when you go through the midnight moments, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. I want you to realize that Joshua felt very strong after getting this assurance that God, the one who was walking with Moses, is going to be with me. Hallelujah. And I want you to be assured this morning that when you rise up to serve God, there is an unusual presence of God that comes upon you. Because through the presence of God, you will withstand the storms that will come your way. Glory be to God. I am excited because from time to time, I have seen God coming through and showing his manifest presence in my life, giving me ability and strength to carry the load that I would not have carried if I was by myself. Hallelujah. The presence of God enables you to fully discharge all that God has called you to do. So if God has called you by his name, It's no longer about you. It's about his name. Hallelujah. It's about Jehovah, the one that has called you. So that's a great reward for every glory dispenser. When you decide to dispense the glory of God, his manifest presence comes into your life to create capacity for you to become all that he has called you to be. Let's look at the nature of the reward of God. God's reward comes in the form of favor. The reward of the Lord comes in the form of favor. You need the favor of God if you are to run your race and to finish it well. When you look at the favor of God can be described as tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. The favor of the Lord is a tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. You realize that we don't call ourselves. We did not volunteer and say, I want to be used. It is the Lord that calls you. It is the Lord that gives you a gift and an ability. And the moment he gives you a gift and an ability and he dispatches you through into the kingdom, into the field of work, I want you to know, he approves you. He approves of you. Because he comes and he says to you, I have approved you. I have qualified you to do my work. I have qualified you to do the works or the good works I have ordained you before the foundations of the earth. I want you to know that favor is also a liking for somebody. So when God calls you, there is a liking of God that comes upon you. Hallelujah. And every child of God is called by God. There is a destiny and a purpose upon every child of God. The issue is how we respond, how we react to the calling of God of our lives. Now, when we respond appropriately to the calling of God, there is a liking of God that comes upon us. There is a liking of God that gets attached to you. You see, we show a liking towards people who also like us, don't we? Who take great delight in us. So when you rise up and you say, I'm going to serve the Lord, you are taking delight in what God is doing. You're taking delight in your father's business. In return, the father will take a special liking of you. You become a treasured possession for God. A treasured possession for God. Hallelujah. You see, when you take a liking in me, you take a liking in what concerns me. What burdens me burdens you. So when you take a liking and a delight in God, you become burdened by what burdens God. You become troubled by what troubles God. So when God is troubled by crime in an area, it troubles you also, and you pray down heaven for security. Hallelujah. So when you are troubled by what troubles God, he takes a liking of you, and therefore there's an approval of God that comes upon you. Hallelujah. So when there is a liking of you from somebody, they will recommend you to other people. Hallelujah. They will say, if you want to get a business done well, you better call this person because they like you. And this is what happens to those that serve God. This is what happens to those who serve God. Now, everyone should seek out the favor of God. And one way and one sure way of getting the favor of God is when we serve him. The favor of God attracts things that money cannot buy. With the favor of God, many other good things will happen to you. Because when God favors you, he will cause everybody else to like you. Hallelujah. You see, one of the things I've realized in serving God, you need the favor of God for you to be received by the people that you are serving. When you have the favor of God, you will find that the people that you are serving, there will be a liking towards you. They will receive your ministry. It is all because of the favor of God in your life. Hallelujah. The favor of God, therefore, enables you, to fulfill all that God has called you to do. Now, when the favor of God is upon you, It attracts finances. It attracts the opening of doors that you are not qualified to enter. When you carry the favor of God, you'll get jobs that you are not qualified to get. When the favor of God is upon you, you'll get bursaries that you do not qualify to get. I'm a testimony, I'm a witness to that, where I've seen God opening doors for me that I was not qualified to get. I remember getting a bursary for my studies that I did not qualify to get. I did not bribe anybody, but God favored me. Hallelujah. The favor of God was upon me, and therefore that door opened that I could not have entered without the favor of God. But I want you to realize that the favor of God does not take you away from facing trouble in life. The favor of God will not remove trouble from you. But what the favor of God will do is that when you go through problems, those problems will still end up for your good. I want you to know that when the favor of God is upon you, you know that whatever will happen to you, it will end up working for your ultimate good. In Romans 8, for we know that all things will work out together for our good. I want you to know that trouble will come your way. But when the favor of God is upon you, you know that the end result is for His glory. The end result will be for my good. That is what favor does. Favor turns around your sour moments into sweet moments. That is what favor does. I'm reminded of Queen Esther. We all know the story of the Israelites who were under the kingdom of King Xerxes. The Bible says there was a man by the name of Haman. Haman thought of doing mischief towards the children of Israel, and he was plotting their downfall. He was plotting their extinction in that land. And now Queen Esther happened to have been a Jewish lady whom God promoted to become the wife of the king. Mordecai, the man who had looked after Esther, knew that Esther was a person who was rightly positioned to go and tell the king so that this nonsense that Haman was trying to do could be stopped. Now, the word came to Queen Esther, and Queen Esther told Mordecai that I haven't been before the king in the past 30 days. And we know there is a way things are done here. Anyone cannot just appear before the king. If you appear before the king, the chances are high that you could be killed. And Mordecai said to his niece, you know what? If you don't do this, help will come from somewhere else. Maybe it is for this reason that God promoted you to be the queen in this season. And the Bible tells us that Esther then said, hey, you know what? I'm going to do it, but please pray and fast with me for 3 days. So Esther fasted and she said, I will go. If I perish, I perish. Esther was prepared to die for the sake of the people of God. Esther was prepared to be inconvenienced for the sake of the cause of God. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us now in Esther 5 verse 1, after the fasting had been declared, the Bible says in verse 1, and it happened on the third day, Esther put on royal clothing and stood in the inner court of the king's house, across from the king's house. And the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, across from the gate of the house. And it happened when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, she received favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter in his hand. And Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. I want you to know that Esther needed the favor of God upon her life in order to fulfill what God wanted her to do. This favor was needed to dispense the glory of God. And I want you to realize this morning that the favor of God will enable you to fulfill all that God has given you. When God favors you, things will happen around you. And we see that Queen Esther had the favor of God that allowed her to be received by the king. When the favor of God is upon you, people in the highest levels of authority cannot help it but favor you as well. This is what happens to those who carry the favor of God. I'm reminded of Nehemiah. The Bible talks about how he had to ask God that give me favor before the king so that he can allow me to go home and rebuild the ruins of Jerusalem. The favor of God will enable you to fulfill your destiny and your purpose. And guess what? When God favors you in the process of you doing the work of the Lord, I want you to know that the favor of God will spill over into your private affairs. The favor of God will spill over into your own life. I'm reminded of Jacob. After serving his father-in-law for 20 years, the man Laban, Jacob sought to return to his father's land. He decided to leave without telling his father-in-law. So, after God had appeared to him in a dream, he said to Jacob, I want you now to go back to your father's land. And the Bible tells us that Jacob rose up one morning, packed up his stuff, took his wives and his wealth, and he was off to his father's land. And then Laban was told that Jacob has just left. Now the Bible tells us that Laban was very angry. He pursued Jacob. Genesis 31 verse 22, the Bible says, it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled. And he took his brothers with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. Your enemy will pursue you with the intention to cripple you, with the intention to cause harm to you and to your family. But I want you to know that when you carry the favor of God, your enemy cannot touch you. Your enemies cannot do you harm. Hallelujah. I have seen it in my life where people around me would seek for my harm, would seek for my destruction. But because of the favor of God upon my life, God has not allowed them to bring harm in my life. And the Bible says, they overtook him in Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night and said to him, take heed that you do not speak either good or bad to Jacob. God spoke to Laban. He appeared unto Laban and spoke to him. I want you to know that Jacob was oblivious of what was going on. Jacob was not aware that his enemy was pursuing after him. His enemy was gunning down for his life. And God looked at what was going on here and says, I'm stepping in. I want you to know that the favor of God will prompt God to step in on your behalf. The Lord will speak to your enemies on your behalf. The Lord will speak to people on your behalf. It is called favor. It is called favor. And God warned Laban. And Laban understood very well that this is not an empty threat. God was telling Laban, touch not my anointed one. Touch not the one that serves me. Touch not the one that has been faithful to me. And I want you to know God is saying the same thing for you as you are serving him. He will say to your enemies, do him no harm because he is my chosen vessel. Do his children no harm because their father has been serving me faithfully. Glory be to God. In verse 29, the Bible says, Laban now is talking to Jacob. And he says, it is in the power of my hand to do you harm. This man was full of himself. He still thought that he had power to do harm. And yet God had just told him, you've got no power to harm my servant Jacob. He says, yeah, but the God of your fathers spoke to me last night saying, take heed that you do not speak either good or bad to Jacob. You see, when you have the favor of God, he will fight your battles in your absence. When the favor of God is upon you, he will fight those boardroom battles in your absence. When you are not there, there will be some people who will speak on your behalf. People will defend you. They will say, this is not his nature. He has no capacity to do that. He does not do that in his life. It is because God will be fighting on your behalf. I'm reminded of Abram. The Bible tells us, I'm now in Genesis chapter 12, where Abram had gone down to Egypt and he was staying there for a season. You know, Abraham, for his own reasons, trying to save his own skin, said, well, Sarah is my sister. She was Sarai at that time. Sarai is my sister. And therefore, Pharaoh looked at Sarai and he liked her. He had a liking towards Sarai. And then he took Sarai for himself. And the Bible says, the Lord descended heavily upon Pharaoh and his people, and he caused a serious disease to come upon the household of Pharaoh and his people. And it was then he realized, this one is somebody's wife. This one is somebody's wife. What was happening here? The favor of God went in and stood on behalf of Sarai. And God protected Sarai from the hands of Pharaoh. It was because of the favor of God that was upon Abraham. If you go further down in Genesis chapter 20, there was a certain scenario in the land of Gerar. King Abimelech also liked Sarah. And he said, I'm going to take her to myself. And the Bible says that night, the Lord appeared in a dream unto Abimelech and says, touch not this woman, for she is a wife to my servant Abraham. Hallelujah. Can you see what happens when we carry the favor of God? It touches different aspects of your life. That is the favor of God. It's a reward for those who serve God. It is a reward for those who serve God. Let's look at number three, the nature of the reward of God. God rewards you with authority. Hallelujah. The reward of the Lord comes in the form of authority, the ability and the right to use power and to get results. You see, when you look at the authority has got three dimensions to it. The first dimension of authority is the decision. It is the will that you have. You want to do something. You decide to do something. Hallelujah. And out of that decision, it prompts you to make a command. So you make a declaration. You command so that whatever you want to do gets done. And then the third dimension of authority is action. It's when people act or when things respond to your command. So when God rewards you with authority, he puts weight on your words. He puts weight on you so that whatever decision you take and whatever you want to implement, he gives you the capacity to get the results that you want. Hallelujah. When people serve God, you need to have the authority in order to make things happen. Hallelujah. When God has called you into the healing ministry, you need to be able to have authority to declare and command healing to happen in the body of somebody who has got the spirit of infirmity. So when God honors you and rewards you with authority, you will get results out of your words. Hallelujah. I want that reward, to be able to speak and to get results. Many people are lightweight in the spirit. They shout and they do things and nothing happens. It is because they lack the authority that they need that should enable them to get results. So when God rewards you with authority, he places weight on your decisions. He places weight on your decisions and he will ensure that results come your way. We need this in our lives. That is why when God positions a leader, and hear me right, when God positions a leader, you haven't positioned yourself. God positions you into a place of leadership. He gives you authority over a jurisdiction. That is why when there is a pastor over a church, God gives him authority to speak into the life of the church. God gives him ability to pray and to get quicker results. It is because of that authority. Hallelujah. In a family setup, a father, a mother, you are given authority. authority to speak into the family affairs. In a business setup, you're a leader that God has called to lead a business entity. You speak and things happen. Why? It is because God rewards you with authority. I'm reminded of the prophet Samuel. The prophet Samuel served God from a tender age. He served God from a young age. And God started putting weight on his word. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 3 verse 19, and Samuel grew, and Jehovah was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. What a profound reward. It means that whatever prediction he uttered, God fulfilled it. It means that when you have the authority from God, whatever you utter, God will fulfill. Hallelujah. When you declare a blessing over the people of God, the Lord will fulfill and bring about that blessing. Why? Because he has rewarded you with authority as you serve him. So God will fulfill it. The counsel of Samuel were received as if it was coming directly from God. It means that when you are preaching the word under the authority of God, people will receive that word as if it is directly coming from the mouth of God. I want you to know that when you carry the authority that comes from God, your word becomes as powerful as it is in the mouth of God. And this is the reward for the servants of God. This is the reward of children of God that rises up and they serve God faithfully. The ability to speak and get results is what we need in the body of Christ. This comes when we serve him faithfully. Elijah, the prophet Elijah, was one man whom God rewarded with great authority. Elijah was that kind of man of God whom God had blessed with incredible authority. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings 17 verse 1, the Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite of the sojourners of Gilead said to Ahab, as Jehovah, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except according to my word. You might mistake that for arrogance. You might mistake that for pride, but Elijah understood the authority that was upon him. Hallelujah. He understood the weight of his words because he had spent time with Jehovah, the God of Israel. He had spent time with the Lord, and he knew that whenever he would declare things, heaven would back him. Hallelujah. This is the reward of those who serve God. When heaven backs your word, your life is never the same. Things will happen. Glory be to God. And we know where his authority came from. It was the time he would spend with God. When it was time for rain to come, the Bible tells us that Elijah knelt down, put his head between his knees, and there he was interceding, and he was tarrying in the presence of God until rain came. This is what happens, saints. When you have the authority of God, you will not move until things happen, because you know the Lord will honor his word. The Lord is faithful to his word. Hallelujah. That's a reward for the righteous. Let us look at the last nature that we're going to cover for today. When God rewards you, God will reward you with a legacy that outlives you. God will reward you with a legacy that will outlive you. Someone said, what you do for yourself dies with you, but what you do for others will outlive you. The desire of God is to perpetuate your name from generation to generation. The desire of God is to enable you to produce fruit that remains. Fruit that lives forever. Fruit that people will look at and say, there was a man, there was a woman that passed through this region, and this region was transformed because this man walked with God. You see, God wants to continue what he has started in you, even after you have passed on to be with him. He wants a legacy to be left behind. Glory be to God. It is the desire of God. That is why today we talk of great teachers of the word like Jonathan Edwards. We think of D.L. Moody. We speak of C.S. Lewis. We speak of Charles Spurgeon. We speak of people that God used in a mighty way. And we read their material. We are blessed. We are encouraged. It is because the Lord has allowed their legacy to outlive them. Hallelujah. We speak of Billy Graham. How many millions of people he led to the Lord. We read his material on how to reach nations for Jesus. He has gone on to be with the Lord. But right now, we are beneficiaries of the work of Billy Graham. And this is a portion for you. This is what God wants to do in your life. When I look at scripture, I see God wanting to do this through his people. I can speak of David, the great king, who made the nation of Israel the strongest kingdom during his days. In the days of King David, the kingdom expanded. The kingdom was strong. The name of the Lord was revered in the days of David. And the Bible says God looked at him and said, this is a man after my own heart. He was not a perfect man, but his heart was after God. And because of that, God rewarded him with a legacy that outlived him. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. And when your days are fulfilled, and you shall sleep with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you. I will set up your seed after you. You shall come out of your bowels. Sorry, let me read that again. I will set up your seed after you, who shall come out of your bowels, and I will make his kingdom sure. So already here, in the immediate, God was saying, your young man shall take over, and he will be great as long as he follows your ways. But then he goes on to a more permanent promise, verse 16, and says, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. And there's a place where it says, from your lineage, there shall be someone always on the throne. Glory be to God. I want you to realize that this is the heart of God for those who serve him. He wants to bless them with works that remain, so that when we are gone and we are with him, our works will continue speaking on our behalf. I am reminded of the widow, Dorcas. The Bible talks about how Dorcas died. And Dorcas had done so many things for people around. And Peter was called. And people were saying to Peter, this woman does not deserve to die. Please pray for her to rise up. Look at all the works that she has done. Look at the people that she has helped, the widows, the orphans that she served. And because of that, the Bible tells us that Peter went in and prayed for Dorcas, and she was raised back to life. I'm talking about a legacy. I believe God will reward us with a legacy that will outlive us. The Bible talks about a certain king. This king was also not perfect, King Jehu. But this king was able to do what God asked him to do in a period of his life. At that time, the nation of Israel was under Ahab. Ahab and Jezebel had caused the nation of Israel to forsake God and to worship Baal and all the other false gods. And God was saying, it is time to put judgment and to finish off this whole legacy of Ahab. And then God anointed Jehu as the king. And the Bible says here in 2 Kings 10, verse 13. 2 Kings 10, verse 13. And the Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in doing what is right in my sight. That's his reward now. Because you have done well to do what was right in my sight, and have done to the house of Ahab all that was in my heart, your sons shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. What a promise. Though Jehu had his weaknesses and problems, the Bible says he got something right. He was able to fulfill what God had called him to do, which was to finish off the life of Ahab and Jezebel and everybody was worshiping Baal. And now God was saying, because of that, I will reward you. The legacy will continue for four generations. What a blessing. Now, when you look at the history of the Israeli nation, when you look at the Old Testament, there was a tradition where the priesthood would be passed down from father to sons, from father to sons. That is why the Bible would speak of Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons. But whenever the sons or the priests would not do right before God, that procedure would not happen. In other words, there would be a disqualification where the sons would not take over as priests. This happened with Eli. The Bible talks about how Eli's sons were not faithful in serving God as priests. And I'm talking about Phinehas now. Phinehas and his brother Hophni, the Bible talks about how they abused people in the temple. They abused the sacrifice of the Lord. And God was very displeased with them. And God said, I'm going to kill them. And the Bible tells us that they died in battle. What was the issue here? The legacy of Eli could not be passed down. And unfortunately, Samuel as well experienced the same thing. The Bible says the children of Samuel were not doing right before God. That was actually one of the reasons why the children of Israel said, we want a king for ourselves because your sons are up to no good. It was one of the reasons. So what am I talking about here? The desire of God is to bless you with a legacy that will outlive you. That is what I wanted to share with us today as we finish off this series on glory dispensers. There is a reward for glory dispensers. And this reward is not just material things. Material things, money, houses, cars, is just a portion of the reward of God. But it's not the ultimate. These are invaluable. These rewards that have got intrinsic value in them is what God wants for his servants. And the rest will follow on. May the Lord bless you as you aspire to be a glory dispenser. May the Lord increase your anointing as you aspire to dispense his glory. I really believe the Lord has ministered to us as we close this series on glory dispensers. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for the anointing to become a glory dispenser to fall upon you. If you want to receive this grace, I want you to open up your hands right now and I'll pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come to the end of this series, Lord, your people have heard and they have sat under this word for 7 weeks. Lord, I pray right now that you would bless them with a grace and a capacity to serve you. Lord, I pray for those who've been afraid to step out into their calling. Right now, we call them forth. We call forth the callings of God in their lives. May they rise up and become an instrument into your hands. So, Father, we bless them right now with a boldness that knows and that says, it's not about me, it's about the one who has called me. And so, Father, I pray for those who have been faithful, serving you week in, week out. Lord, I pray for a great reward upon their lives. I pray for a legacy that will outlive them. I pray for favor upon their lives. I pray for your presence to surround them, oh God. Your word says, I will bless the righteous. And with favor will I surround them like a shield. And so I bless your people right now with your favor, oh God. Go before them and do them good. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. So thank you so much for joining us today. Again, please join us again next week. We are starting a brand new series. I am so looking forward to that series. The Lord will bless you through that series. So make a date again with us for next week, same time on the same channel. And I want to encourage you to share this YouTube channel so that as many people as possible can be blessed by what God is sharing here. So may the Lord keep you and preserve you in Jesus' name. Amen.